Hello and welcome to Recovery Uncovered, the show that educates, inspires, and supports you on your wellness journey. Today's episode is all about life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. And I'm your host, Cass. Today we have a special guest. His name is Michael, who is known for being the inspirational trans guy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Just a friendly reminder that Recovery Uncovered is not a substitute for counseling or professional help. We are all peers who have the experience of living with a mental illness and or substance use. Let us walk this journey together and enjoy the show.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. So what brought you onto this show?
Just wanted to share my experience with mental illness.
And do you find that it helps you to share your experience?
Yeah, it does. And it also helps other people so they think they're not going through this alone.
Right, and that's a thing for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people struggle with the feeling of being alone.
I felt like that.
Yeah.
So.
When did it all start for you?
It started when I was about 19 years old. The voices and hallucinations started, but I held it, I hid it for so many years because I transitioned from female to male.
Okay. And when the noises, like the voices started, and the hallucinations, what did it feel like to you? Like, did you know what it was?
No, I didn't know what was going on. I just could hear voices in my head and didn't know what was going on. I'd look around to see if there was any people around me talking. So
it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
And I can't imagine having to figure that out on your own because you were also going through the transition.
Yeah, I was going through the transition and I didn't want anything to stop that, so... And mental illness would have stopped it then in its tracks.
Oh, why would it stop it?
Because they would have thought I had a mental health problem instead of being born female and transitioning to male. So
it would stop you from being your true self.
Yeah, it'd stop me from being my true self.
Well, that's too bad. I think we need to change the system there. Too many people are falling through those cracks.
Yeah.
So when did you first reach out for help?
When I first reached out for help, I was 44 years old.
44.
I met my ex-girlfriend now in the parking lot of our house with the razor blades, and I told her I need help and asked her to hide them.
Wow.
So we checked myself into the hospital the next day to get help.
And why do you think that you asked for help at that moment?
Because I didn't want to end my life. I didn't want to go out like my dad. My dad died when I was 2 years old from suicide, so I didn't want to go out like him. So I wanted to help, finally get help and get on a road to recovery.
Right. So there's mental illness in your family?
Yeah, there's mental illness in my family. My mom suffers from anxiety. My sister suffers from depression. My niece has social anxiety. My dad's schizophrenia and depression.
Huh. And do you think that that has helped your family be a little bit more open and understanding?
I think it's also me educating them. I brought pamphlets and PDF files to them for them to read through, especially on schizophrenia and schizoaffective disorder.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard one for people to understand, I think, schizophrenia.
Yeah, because they see what people are showing movies and all that we're lunatics, we're violent and all that, but I'm far from violent.
Yeah. You're just another human being,
yeah.
Right? So, it makes you no different than all of us.
Yeah, it makes me just normal. I live my life normally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you function.
Yeah.
You've worked. You live on your own. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have a job and all that, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate the stigma sometimes can prevent us from doing things in our lives because people get nervous, right? They feel the shame.
Yeah, my place of employment let me go because of the mental illness and the schizophrenia, so they let me go from my post.
Wow. Do you call them episodes?
I was having an episode, and it put me in the hospital, so.
Right.
And when I came out, I called them up saying I was ready to come back to work, and I was told that they let me go.
Oh, no. How would you describe an episode to somebody that has no idea?
An episode is being in a really dark room and seeing things that aren't there and hearing things that aren't there.
Okay. But it feels very real at the time.
It feels very real. Like recently I had one where I thought the government was following me, monitoring me. I had put a chip in my arm to monitor me, and people around me were talking about me and able to read my thoughts.
Oh, wow. That must have been stressful.
It was scary, especially going through it alone.
Yeah. Were you able to tell anybody when that was happening?
I told my mom after I came out of it. I told my mom I had an episode. But it felt really real, and I went next to the house. I wouldn't go anywhere. I just stayed behind the door and peeked through the window, make sure no one was there.
Did it take up your entire day?
It takes up everything, your entire thinking.
Wow. Can you feel them coming on?
I can sometimes feel them coming on. Stress really causes them to come on. So when I get really stressed, an episode can come on. So I try to keep myself stress-free.
That's not easy in this
world. No, it's not.
Yeah, I wish things were a little bit more stress-free. What kind of stuff do you do to help calm yourself during an episode?
Listening to music really helps. It distracts me with the music. So, and then writing in my journal, coloring. My mom got me into an app on my phone where I can color on my phone.
Oh, that's cool.
And it makes me focus on looking for the numbers to match the colors. So my mind gets focused on something else than the voices.
There's not really a chance for you to kind of go off because you're so into it, right?
Yeah.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to all types of music. So I don't have a particular genre. I just listen to everything.
And you just sit there and listen, or are you like a dancer?
No, I just sit there and listen. I put my headphones in and listen to it.
Okay. I'm a car dancer, which just means I forget I have legs most of the time because I'm so used to just dancing and while I'm driving. It's not very pretty, but that's all right. So you talked about that your dad died by suicide.
Yes.
So do you remember your dad at all?
No, I don't remember my dad. I was only 2 years old, but there were photos of him growing up. There was photos of my dad and all that, just because he was in my life for the first couple of years.
And did they tell you right away what happened to your dad?
No, I found out years later when I went looking for his family because I was receiving an orphan pension check, so I needed my dad's SIN number. And I telephone book by collect, and they answer surprisingly.
Wow.
And I found out that's how he died. And then I got a hold of his birth certificate and all that, and his death certificate.
How did it... at the time that you found that out, did you already suffer with mental illness challenges?
Yes, I did suffer with mental illness
challenges. So how was it hearing that your dad had them as well?
It was weird hearing that he had mental illnesses as well and all that. So
yeah, that's got to be tough, right?
Yeah.
And almost like it was a secret because nobody would tell you what happened.
No one would tell me what happened, that he committed suicide. My mom wouldn't tell me. She just told me he died when I was young.
Right. Yeah. And so it's kind of the first thing that got you to seek help, though.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. The four suicide attempts, I just, after that, I'm like, no, I can't go out like my dad. Mm. I got to be stronger than him.
Yeah, stronger, or I don't know if stronger is the thing you got to do, but it's just keep fighting, right?
Yeah, keep fighting, that's right.
Like, when you said that you attempted, like, what were you feeling at the time? Did you want to die?
I did want to die. I wanted the voices to go away. I wanted the hallucinations to be gone.
Right.
So.
And you thought that was the only way?
That was the only way.
I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, a lot of people don't see an escape from their suffering.
Yeah.
And so they want to die. But I don't think necessarily that we all realize that if we die, that's the end, right? Not just the end of our suffering, but the end of everything else.
Yeah. So, and I just want to live for my family and all that and be there for them.
You're close with your family.
Yeah, I'm close with my family.
And they were open and accepting of the transition too?
Yeah, my sister wasn't. My brother and my sister weren't. My brother, it took him 6 years to come around for him to accept my transition. It took my sister a year to come around. And my mother, I told her dead last, and she accepted it right away.
Yeah, you were shocked about that, eh?
Yeah, I was shocked that my mom accepted it. But I knew because my stepfather wasn't in the picture anymore that his ideations weren't there and she wasn't thinking like him and all that. So
it was more of a safe place.
It was a safe place to tell my mom.
Yeah. Do you feel like more like yourself now?
Yes, I do feel like more like myself.
And how long has it been since you started?
I started my transition in 2009 and I completed all my surgeries in 2018.
Wow. I'm glad that you were able to do that. And that's a long time, but I'm glad it was able to be finished because now you can truly be who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think, if I were to ask you, like, what best describes you, what would you say?
Best describes me is I'm motivated and being more open about my life and all that to share my journey with people, so...
Do you think it was hard to share your story?
Yeah, it is because of the fact that you never know how someone's going to react when you tell them. Like, my landlady, when I end up in hospital, she was wondering if I was a danger to her, I was going to harm her. Mm. And it took my mom going over and talking to her for an hour and a half for her to realize that I'm not a danger to her. The only person I hurt is myself. Mm-hmm. I don't hurt anybody else.
And that's the truth, right? We're so often considered to be a danger to others, but usually we're just the worst enemy to ourselves.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm the worst enemy to myself. I'll harm myself before I harm someone else.
Right. Yeah, that's tough. I'm glad that you're sharing your story now, though, because I don't think there's a lot of people that really live with schizophrenia that I've heard share their story as much.
No, and I haven't. I've only found two people that have shared their story, and I've watched it on YouTube and all that, so.
Yeah. Did you relate to them?
Yeah, I did relate to them, because some of the paranoia that they had was similar to what I was dealing with and all that, so I was able to relate to the story.
Right. And so what kind of help did you get at first?
At first, I got counseling. Just talking about my past, being sexually abused as a child and all that.
So that's a trauma.
That's a trauma and a big stressor in my life. And then therapy, psychiatrist.
Okay.
And now I've got a really new psychiatrist, but he's really nice. Mm-hmm. And I got a counselor I see weekly.
Okay. So you've done a lot of talk therapy.
Yeah, done a lot of talk therapy, and I'm going to do some trauma therapy in the fall.
That's intense, trauma therapy, yeah.
Yeah, trauma therapy, I'm not looking forward to, but it's something that's needed.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard really good things. Like, I heard that it's very helpful, especially talking to people that are not going to judge you based off of the trauma.
Yeah, and it's group, so everybody's going to, it's group therapy, so group trauma therapy. Yeah. So everybody's going to have their own experience that they've gone through that they're trying to heal from.
Mm. Yeah, healing. It's a long journey.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a journey that's worth it.
Very much so.
Have you done any other group therapy or groups before?
I've done group therapy for my transition and all that. I organized a group called Gender Journeys. So I was part of the organization team of that get people help with their transition so that they knew they weren't going through it alone as well. Mm-hmm. And that there was other people that could support them and help them out with what the surgeries are like, share their experiences and all that.
Yeah. Knowing a bit about your story, like, there's so much that has happened. It would be hard to kind of unpack it all, but I guess it all kind of, like, you dealt with the schizophrenia, you dealt with the transition, you dealt with the anxiety and paranoia. And then trauma.
Yeah.
Right? Do you find that they're all kind of mixed together?
Yeah, they're all mixed together.
Yeah.
So one will trigger another.
Hmm. That's the fun part of having mental illness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just have one. You gotta have the whole list.
You gotta have the whole list.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? My list gets longer every time I see a doctor. And have you done peer support?
I've done some peer support. So I deal with here 24/7. So when I have, if I start getting down or I start hearing voices and they're telling me to harm myself, well, I'll call here 24/7. I've got a peer warm line, gentleman from the peer warm line that calls me twice a week to check in, and he's working on goals with me. So different things like showering, because the hygiene is really awkward for me because I think the water's poisonous.
Okay, yeah.
But that's my paranoia. So we work on me showering, try to shower twice a week, and then work my way up to more.
Mm-hmm. You get to start small and kind of keep taking those steps.
Yeah.
That's, It's good to have goals, right? It's also good to know that they may not come as and be achieved as fast as we would like.
No, but at least I can take it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's one moment at a time.
Yeah. 1 second at a time, right? Yeah,
1 second at a time. There are times where I have to take it 1 second at a time.
Yeah. It's really good, though, that you have these people to kind of help keep these goals going. And
yeah, keep me focused on my goals.
Yeah. What would you say is a goal that you're working on for your life?
My life, I'd like to become a peer support worker myself to help other people out.
Yeah, is it because you think that you can help with your story?
Yeah, I can help with my story, with my where I've been throughout life, different experiences.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And why do you think peer support is the way to go?
Because I thought about going back to school to become a counselor, but my dyslexia and all that make it very hard for me to learn through textbooks. I'm more hands-on.
Right.
So I figured peer support would be a great way to start because it's more hands-on.
I agree. I'm obviously a peer support worker, but I went to school for social work, ended up leaving because it wasn't quite what I was looking for. I'm more about using my experience to help others, and that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, and that's what I want to use my experience. I don't want to be doing things from a textbook point of view.
Yeah.
Like most people, most counselors, they focus on the textbook and not from the person's personal experience.
Yeah. And what do you think helps people being able to hear it from personal experience?
So that they know they're not going through it alone. They're not alone in the world.
Right.
That there may be someone else dealing with this. So that's why I'm sharing my story today with schizophrenia and to show that there's someone out there that might be dealing with schizophrenia and the symptoms of that and feeling like they're all by themselves. And here I am sharing my story that I'm just a normal person making my way through day-to-day life. And I'm still, mental health doesn't define my life.
Right. Yeah, what would you say defines your life?
My life is defined by my successful outcomes in that in life.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that just remembering that we're not the mental illness, right, is important.
Yeah, I have so many different mental illnesses. I got borderline personality disorders, PTSD, OCD.
Right.
But it doesn't define who I am. I'm Michael. That's the first person that people meet is Michael. And if you get to know me, the real me, you find out later on those are the other parts of me.
Right. But it doesn't change who you are.
It doesn't change who I am.
Yeah. I love that. So you're talking about not wanting people to feel alone with schizophrenia. So what are some of the symptoms so people that may have it can hear?
Delusions are one of the symptoms. Paranoia can be some of the other symptoms. Hallucinations, disorganized thinking, disorganized lack of motivation, and that are some of the symptoms of schizophrenia.
Okay. Do you find that you get depressed or anxious? As well?
Yeah, I get depressed and anxious. I'm on antidepressants to help with the depression and that. And then I get very anxious, especially trying new things. Like recently, I completed my first day training and I was very anxious that day and I had the voices. So trying to go through first aid when you're dealing with auditory hallucinations was really awkward. And I wrote the test trying to focus and you got voices talking in your ear.
Right.
And trying to write a test, trying to concentrate, made it hard, but I passed my first aid.
But you passed.
I passed it.
Yeah.
And that was another goal achieved.
Right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, that's not easy to have to sit there and do the training and then the test, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. I'm happy to hear that. And it really does show people that you can work and achieve things.
You can work and achieve things. And my goal is at some point when I feel comfortable enough being around people, large crowds of people, is going back to work.
Okay.
Part time.
Yeah. Do you miss work?
I do miss work. I really miss my old job where I worked at Canadian Tire Financial. I was the security guard there and I got to know everybody. And everybody knew me and all that. So I really miss that job. So
yeah, you're very much a people person.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And I think that's why you do great in peer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. All right. So Michael, what are some things that bring you hope?
Things that bring me hope is just that my journey has finished and I can share that experience with people. And my hope is to help people and help my, even my family understand schizophrenia and schizoaffective disorder, make them better aware. So now my mom's able to pick up when I'm having a rough day. She can tell, and she'll tell me to take my PRN, which is my as needed medication.
Awareness is the key, eh?
Yeah, awareness is definitely the key.
I think the more people that are aware and the more people that understand, the more hope I have.
Yeah. And the more hope I get is doing talk therapy and all that, and just being able to be open about my emotions.
Do you ever have any feelings that come with being open?
Yeah, I get nervous and scared because I'm afraid if I say the wrong thing, I'll get locked up. I've been in the hospital 5 times in the past year.
Wow.
And two of them I was taken by police and I was handcuffed both times.
Oh, that's scary.
So it's scary being handcuffed and you're just getting an escort to the hospital for the mental health ward, but they handcuff you and take away your belongings.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
Two of the times.
Did you get help those times?
I got help. It got into the mental health ward a lot faster than when I went on my own.
Okay.
There was one time I went in on my own and I was having hallucinations and I was on the verge of hurting someone that they just gave me an Ativan and sent me home.
Oh, wow. That doesn't really feel like you've been heard.
No, I wasn't heard by the psychiatrist that day. And it was all done through video conferencing. So she wasn't there in person to see me. She could just see me through a camera.
Right. Yeah, and I think our people's perception of us doesn't always equal out what's happening, right? Like, we can look on the outside like we're fine, but really be struggling on the inside.
Yeah, like I look like a normal individual walking down the street, but you never know that I'm suffering with schizophrenia.
No, you wouldn't. If I had just met you, I wouldn't know any of this, right? Mm-hmm. I would just know that you're this cool guy with tattoos and piercings.
Yeah.
I like tattoos, as you know.
Yeah, I love tattoos too.
Yeah, do you think tattoos like a soothing thing for you?
It is, and all my tattoos have meanings behind them, so I haven't got any that don't have any meanings behind them.
And are they all related to your journey?
They're all related to my journey.
Okay.
So every single one of them are related to my journey.
Yeah, that's what mine are too. I want them to grow into a sleeve of my life. But
yeah, I'm battling with my mom who gets the most tattoos.
Oh, really? Yeah. Your mom has them too?
I remember when I got my first tattoo, my mom made me cover it up because my nieces were really young and my mom didn't want them to see tattoos and all that, so she yelled at me for them.
Oh, wow.
So there I am in 45 degree weather wearing a long sleeve shirt so that my tattoos are hidden, and next thing you know my mom starts getting tattoos.
Oh gosh.
I'm like, okay, now we have a competition who gets more.
The quote we used at the beginning, is that one of your tattoos?
Yeah, it's one of my tattoos.
Do you want to read it out again?
Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all.
It's a very interesting quote. It makes you think.
Yeah, it does.
Why do you think you chose that one?
I chose that one because I try to live life each day to the fullest. And it can be a daring adventure, depending on the day of the week and all that. It can be nothing at all, where I just stay in bed and don't want to associate it with the world.
Right. I think we all have days like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the important thing is just remembering that, you know, mental illness is a roller coaster. So some days we may be feeling pretty rough, but other days we're going to be feeling a lot better.
Yeah, this last little bit I've been down. So I've been dealing with auditory hallucinations and afraid of being around people and all that. So this past week's been a little rough. I've had to take my as needed medication a little more than normal, but I'm making it through. I'm managing.
Mm-hmm. Does it make you feel like you've grown being able to manage it?
Yeah, I being able to recognize and stop the impulses and all that. So the impulse to hurt myself, the self-harm, I've been able to stop that. So it's shown me I can grow, because the last time I self-harmed was back in February. So I'm able to control that now.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a lot of growth, if you ask me. I think a lot of us don't realize that we have the skills inside of us to kind of make it through these moments.
Yeah, and DBT really helped out. Gave me a bunch of new skills and breathing techniques and different activities that I can do when things start acting up, when stress levels get up or anxiety levels start rising. I have a soothing box at home where I have an elastic band. When I have the urge to self-harm, I put it around my wrist and snap it instead of pulling out the knife and self-harming.
It's interesting how it works very similar. You know, it kind of still gives you that relief.
Yeah, it gives you the relief and it snaps you back.
That's interesting.
Or using ice cubes, holding on to ice cubes in your hands will help.
Yeah. Do you know why your brain tells you to self-harm?
The voices tell me to harm myself, that I'm worthless and no good. People are following me, or to harm myself or harm someone else. So that's usually when the self-harm comes up.
Can you tell who the voices are? Like, can you tell if they're male? Or
I've got two female voices and one male voice that I hear. And then I see shadow people. So I have a little girl that I see. Mm. And then three shadow people that pop up for me.
Wow. So at least you can recognize it, right? Yeah. And you kind of can put more thought into it when it's happening. Like, oh, that's this one.
And one technique, someone on Facebook, I posted a post about dealing with the government hallucinations and all that. And someone said, when I start seeing things, use my cell phone camera to see if it's actually there. So I started doing that. I take pictures where I'd see the shadow person standing, and next thing you know, I'd realize there's no one there.
Interesting.
So I've been using my camera more often.
Yeah. I mean, everybody usually has their phone on them, right? Yeah. So that's a pretty good skill to use.
Yeah. So it's a new technique that someone suggested that I try, and I've been trying it.
See, like, word of mouth, people talking about their experiences, their techniques, their journeys, really does help other people be like, oh, I'm going to try that. Maybe that will work for me.
Yeah, and even sharing medications, different techniques, because it takes a while to find the right medication to help you. I've been on lots of different medications, and now the stuff I'm finally on has been helping manage the voices better.
What would you say to the people that are going through that journey of trying to find the right one, where they feel like they're never going to get that right one and they have to keep stopping?
Talking to your mental health provider, talk to your doctor, be open about what you're dealing with and all that, because they're the ones that will work with you to help you get on the right medication. It takes a while to find the right combination of medication.
It does, yeah. And for me too, I've been through many, many different medications, and I still am going through them, right? And I guess some people find one that works for them a little bit faster, and some people it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah, the medication I'm on right now is also offered in injections, so I want to find out if I'm eligible for the injections. Instead of taking a pill every day, I can have an injection once a month.
Right, yeah.
So, and that would lessen the amount of pills I take throughout the day.
True, yeah, and less likely to forget to take them.
Yeah, less likely to forget to take them. I have an app on my phone called MediSafe. So I put my prescriptions in there and the times of day that I take them. An alert pops up at the time to remind me to take my medication, and it tracks it if I've taken it. And then it will track your journey, what percentage you've done for the week. So I've been at 100% taking my medication daily. There are times where I forget, and my percentage goes down to 89 or 90.
Does it feel good to see that 100%?
Yeah, it does feel good to see that 100% because I'm sticking with my medication regime. So seeing that 100%, and it was thanks to someone on Facebook that recommended the app.
Yeah, I've never heard of this app before.
Yeah, it's MediSafe, and it's free. It's downloadable through the Apple Play Store or Google Play Store, and you can just put your prescription in, your name of your prescription, your dosage, what it's used for. So if it's for schizophrenia or bipolar or borderline personality disorder, you can put all that information in and put in your refills when you need refills.
And it kind of alerts you?
And it'll alert in the time of day that you take your meds, and then an alert will pop up. So at 8 o'clock every morning, an alert pops up saying, don't forget to take your medication. And I get up and I take my medications because they're all in blister packs. So which helps, so I don't have to worry about which pill has to come out of which bottle.
And you can do that through any pharmacy.
Yeah, you can do the blister packs through any pharmacy.
I found it to be helpful too. I've been on blister packs for a while as well. And I think it's just, I was getting overwhelmed with having to kind of constantly pick out different meds and put them into a pile to have, where at least it's already done. The pharmacy does it for you.
Yeah, the pharmacy, like, I take my meds in the morning and at night, so I take them at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then I take them again at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay. It's good to keep it on a steady schedule, right?
Yeah.
Good routine.
Because I usually go to bed about 9:30, so I usually take my meds an hour and a half before I go to bed, because I've got one set of medications that help me sleep, so by 9:30 I'm ready for bed and ready to fall asleep.
Do you think having a routine has been helpful?
Yes, having a routine, because I know when I was doing group therapy, I had a routine where 2 days a week I had to go to day hospital. Mm-hmm. So I had to be up at a set time and go somewhere at a set time. So having a routine it helps. So when I have appointments, I know I have to get up, shower, go to these appointments. But when I didn't have a routine, it would make it harder to get myself motivated throughout the day.
Yeah, because it's just easier to say, I can just sit here, right?
Yeah, sit here or just stay in bed all day and not do anything. So I've even motivated myself to go for a little walks around the neighborhood.
Okay. I think that you had mentioned before that one of the things that you've been working on to keep that routine is taking the bus.
Yeah, taking the bus has been a real struggle for me because of the fear of being around so many people. The buses can get really busy, especially during rush hour. So the anxiety level, I ran off the bus one day and just wanted to escape it. Mm-hmm. And recently I had stopped taking the bus for a couple of weeks because I went on vacation. So I had to come back and get myself back into getting back on the bus. And when I did that, I ended up talking to myself, which made people look at me even stranger. But it was my way of getting through. And I find using music helps distract. My mom came up with the idea of getting me headphones. And since I have Spotify on my phone, we use music to help drown out and distract me.
Right. That's a good plan. Like the headphones too, to kind of keep it in you instead of just around. Right?
Yeah, and it also helps with the voices, because when the voices start acting up, like telling me people are watching me or they're talking about me, the music helps distract me. So it's a distraction technique as well.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that, like, what is it that you feel when you think people are looking at you?
That they're out to harm me. So being around large crowds makes it really hard, or being on camera makes it that I'm being recorded and all that. So having the buses with the video cameras, I know the cameras are there to protect everybody on the bus, but for me, it's like, oh, I'm being recorded.
I can see why you would think that.
Yeah.
How does it feel knowing that you're able to take the bus now?
It feels really good knowing that I can take the bus and not have to worry about taking an Ativan prior to taking the bus.
The music kind of helps now instead of it.
Yeah, the music helps instead of taking the medication.
It's really good to try all of our kind of coping skills, right? Because some work for some things and some work for other things, what else is in your routine these days?
In my routine is I go over and spend time with my family. So I do that every couple of days. Every other day throughout the week, I go over to my family's and help around with my nephew and all that. So it keeps me occupied, spending time with my mom's dog, which has become my dog partly. So
yes. Dogs are the best.
Yes, they are.
You can't not smile when you're around the dog.
Yeah, she's so excited when I come to the door. She only gets like that with two people, myself and my oldest niece. So other than that, she barks at everybody else.
Does it make you feel welcomed?
Yeah, it makes me feel welcome.
Yeah. I love animals. They're always there when we're not doing so well.
And then another thing that keeps me motivated is going to the gym regularly. Attending the gym.
What do you think the gym does for you besides the physical health?
Besides the physical health, it helps me out with my mental health itself, because of the fact that I'm able to be around people. We're all there doing the same goal, so I know that people aren't there watching me and all that. They're there exercising.
Yeah. Yeah, we're themselves. All kind of working on the same thing.
Yeah, so I just, for me, it's to gain muscle mass and to lose some body fat. Mm-hmm. But it's just been there for me as an outlet.
Yeah, it sounds like a good outlet.
Yeah, I try to hit the gym 3 days a week.
Wow, okay. And it probably burns off a lot of negative energy. I don't know the proper word for it, but...
Yeah, it does burn off the negative energy.
Yeah. Kind of, I guess it's like when you go for a run or something, all of the hormones are the, it's not serotonin, but...
Dopamine.
The dopamine that you get kind of is providing your brain with a break because it's giving you all these like happy
thoughts instead of negative thoughts.
Right. I when I was going to the gym and I got to start getting back to it too. Sometimes I fall off and then I'm just like, I get the thoughts like you, like, oh, people are going to be looking at me and they're going to make fun of me or they're going to say I'm too big to be in the gym. Right. And it kind of prevents me from going, but I realize that not having the strength, not having, the dopamine that I used to when I did go to the gym is making my depression worse.
Yeah, if I don't go to the gym, my motivation goes out the window for the day. Mm-hmm. So I try to get to the gym as much as I can.
Or just close the window.
Yeah, close the window and shut out the world for the day.
Right, yeah. And no windows allowed from here forth. What would you say to, I know that you previously said that your brother and your sister didn't quite understand what you're going through right away. What would you say to people that don't have a family close to them to accept them?
Rely on your healthcare team. Rely on friends if you've got close friends and all that to talk to. Like my friends, a lot of them are still in the Niagara region where I moved from. So I talk to them through Facebook. I stay in contact through people through Facebook because I don't have very many friends. I have two friends here. And we all are going through our own mental health challenges, so it struggles sometimes to get together with each other.
Yeah.
And with them living in another city, it's harder for me to get to them.
Right.
So I talk to a lot of my Facebook friends.
But they're still friends, right?
Yeah, they're still friends, so an acquaintance, and they support me through my journey.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it is that supports you? Is it the talking to them, letting people know?
It's sharing and letting people know. So when I'm struggling, having a bad day, if I post it on Facebook, people come back with helpful comments or I'll ask for memes, funny memes to go up to give me a good laugh and all that. So
yes, they're always good ones, right?
Yeah.
I think too, like just when you're in your own head with all of these thoughts, people often say like, if you write it out, it gets it out, right? And I guess it's probably the same with talking to your friends. Getting it out of your head so you're not stuck with this dark cloud over you. It's kind of spread open so you can talk to people about it.
Yeah, and I write in my journal, and that's another way of getting it out too. Okay. So I write in my journal what I'm going through or just what I've done throughout the day.
Okay.
Any small achievements I've achieved throughout the day.
It's important to make sure you do the things that you're proud of.
Yeah, recognize what you're proud of and your successes. And I wasn't always there to monitor my successes. I would never acknowledge them.
Right.
To me, it was just, okay, there's another thing done. Mm. So, but my big thing is when I passed my first aid, I posted up, I passed, and everybody congratulated me, told me that they could do that I could do it. And they said, see, you could do it.
Yeah.
Where I thought I couldn't do it.
And I know the anxiety sometimes stops us in our tracks beforehand, and we can't often see our own strengths and our own successes. And sometimes other people have to point it out to us. And I guess when you post it on Facebook, you know, people are pointing it out to you. They're validating how you feel, like that it's good.
Yeah, and it's another way also for me to stay in contact with family that I haven't seen. Like my next goal is to go out west for a while to visit family I haven't seen since I was 9 years old. So,
oh, wow.
So that's my big achievement. My next big goal that I want to do is take a trip.
It sounds like you have a really good supportive team around you.
I do have a good support team around me. I just have to learn sometimes when I'm in the dark times that I have to rely on my support team and not try to go through it alone.
Yeah, use your team.
Yeah.
Like you have the skills too, but if you can use your team, it's just even better, right? The more help, the better. Yeah, because it's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
No, I don't think anybody would think it's easy that lives with mental illness.
No.
Yeah, wow. I'm in so much awe with how much awareness you have of the ability, the growth, the strength, everything that you've gone through has been so heavy, but here you are being aware of all the things that have helped you grow.
It's taken me a long time to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a lot of doing the therapy, seeing the psychiatrist to get to that point.
But doing the work is worth it.
Doing the work is worth it. If you're willing to put in the time to do the work, it is worth it.
You can live a life.
Yeah, you can live a normal life. And
that's amazing. What is one thing that you would? What is the one thing that you want everyone to know?
People with schizophrenia are normal individuals. We're normal people with ordinary lives. So, and we're not made out to be the psycho killer in the movies, like some movies make schizophrenia out to be.
Yeah, the stigma is bad.
Yeah, the stigma around, especially mental health. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about depression, people understand it. They may not quite get it, but they understand it. But mm-hmm. when you bring up schizophrenia, you think that person's violent.
Right.
And a lot of us go through our days just normally going through our days, and dealing with schizophrenia is just one part of it. Mm-hmm. And we're not the serial killers that our people make us out to be.
Right. I mean, it's important to know that we're all unique. Just because you have schizophrenia doesn't put you into a category of evil person.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can be a funny, you are a funny guy, right? A funny, chill guy. And it's important that we don't just stick everybody into a box, because we don't fit into a box.
No, and life's not made out of a box. There's so many different aspects to life. And if we put ourselves in a box, then we're sheltering ourselves from what could be.
What could be. Yeah. I like that.
Mental health does not define who I am.
All right. Well, thank you for coming today, Michael.
Thank you.
And that is today's episode. I would like to thank you, the listeners, for your time, and our guest, Michael, for his contribution to this show. Look out for our next episode. Remember, you are the hero of your story. Be kind to yourselves.